we tend to focus on how we can control and manipulate the body to do what we think is best for it, rather than trusting that it knows what's best. We often just duplicate medicine with our natural remedies. And so we go to say, well, I'm smarter than my body, so I want a decongestion. Or the other thought process is, I want to be comfortable. I don't have time for this.
That's probably the majority.
I realize that these things help prepare us for future challenges. They help strengthen us if we can give it the time and support our body's natural processes. Nothing in life is caused by one thing. There's no experience or illness or anything we ever have in life that just has one causative factor.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello and welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And today we have an extraordinary guest. His name is Dr. Jason Mulder, and he is a passionate physician and an expert in liver and gut microbiome health and treating autoimmune disorders. He's had over two decades of experience, and Dr. Mulder is dedicated to transforming the healthcare landscape, advocating for transparency and a deeper understanding of the body's innate ability to heal. His journey began with a personal challenge, and he shares a little bit about that, but just navigating the complexities of vaccination decisions for his children, and this kind of led him to conduct extensive independent research. And this drive for truth has really shaped his clinical practice, where he has successfully resolved complex health conditions that others could not. So he is a wonderful human being, and he is the founder of 18 clinics and an educator for both healthcare professionals and the public. Dr. Mulder is on a mission to shift the focus from symptom-based care to holistic healing. So join me as we jump into this conversation. I think you're going to find it enlightening, but he is just a dear individual. So enjoy the show. All right. Well, welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast, Dr. Jason Mulder. It is a delight to have you.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here with you.
Yes. I reached out to you and I said, all right, first of all, you were so gracious because I'm just like, let's just talk all things health. And you're like, cool, let's do it. So you have no idea what this conversation is going to look like. And I don't either. And I think that's kind of the joy in this, because I just want to hear from your heart. I know that you are, you know, into holistic living, and so am I. And I just want to kind of dive into kind of what got you started on this track of your personal story, I guess. Of what got you on this vein of more holistic living.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, because you're right. I have no idea where we're going today, so it's going to be a fun ride. I like that my hat matches your shirt just a little bit.
That's right. Make America healthy again. I love it.
That's right. Yeah. So I mean, it's a very lengthy history when we go into like why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. I was raised in a home where my mom was a hippie and didn't have a dad around, had three brothers. And, you know, a lot of what we had, we were in and out of being homeless and, you know, living in trailers and things. And so I, for whatever reason, I got this entrepreneurial spirit that just led me to want to do something big and make a big difference in the world. And I didn't know what that was going to be when I was young, but I knew that I always had a place in my heart for the underdog, for really, I always just was a protector for people that were the underdogs. And so, again, this is the Reader's Digest version. Fast forward several years, and I was trying to decide what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I was at my mother-in-law's cabin. I was married and I had our first child on the way. And so I figured it's time to grow up. And at the cabin, we were up playing cards till 2 o'clock in the morning. And she jokingly said, if you became a chiropractor, I'd pay for your education, because her back was hurting in that moment. And I didn't even know what a chiropractor was at the time. And so I started researching. And as I researched, I really fell in love with the profession. I mean, the first things that I read as I searched things up was the Committee on Quackery. That was the very first thing that came up when I searched chiropractic. And I read that and I was like, that's interesting. And then I read a few more negative things. And then I dug down a little bit deeper and I started to see what they did. And I love working with my hands. I love helping human beings. And at the time, because I came from such poor upbringings, $70,000 to $80,000 a year, which was the average income of a chiropractor, seemed like a lot of money. I was like, sure. Oh, that sounds great. So let's go down that road.
And your mother-in-law would pay for the school.
That's right. Well, yeah, that was a joke, but anyway, it got me thinking a direction, and quite frankly, from that point on, I feel like it was just a calling, like I was pulled in this direction.
Can I pause you real quick on that? Because I just want to mention the power of a word, right? The power of speaking life over someone's life, even if it's like, hey, even if it's kind of in fun, like, hey, if you became a chiropractor, I'd pay for your services. I mean, something like that. It could really take root. So we got to be careful with what we say and what we receive to hear, right?
1,000,000%. Yeah. 1,000,000%. And it did. It took root. It really sank in. It just struck a chord. It was like literally like a vibration. It almost just felt like, wow, okay, what is that? And then I shadowed 7 different chiropractors, and 4 of them made me never want to do it because it just seemed like they were robots doing the same thing over and over again. And there were 3 that were really unique, and it seemed like their approach was so unique to each individual that came into the office. And so that's what I patterned. I fell in love with that. I realized, man, I can learn forever with this. Yeah. And so I headed down that road. And as I went to chiropractic school, I fell in love with, what I was learning. During that time, I also became very frustrated because I had medical doctors teaching me that if I vaccinated my kids, and I had 3 kids by this time, if I vaccinated my kids, they would die. And then I had naturopathic doctors teaching me that if I did vaccinate my kids, they would die. So it was like, it was caught between the two. And so I spent 1.5 years really deeply researching that, and it helped me actually learn how you have to do research to find accurate information that's unbiased. And so that really set the course for what led to, being able to help thousands of patients with chronic disease.
Yeah, that's so good. And that's true. It's like, how do you find the unbiased information? And it takes a lot of time and energy to do the research to find out who funded the study, there's so many rabbit trails you can go, and the average person doesn't have the time or the ability to do that kind of research. So you are really passionate about getting people healthy and well. And one of the things that you say in your bio is the human cell is wiser than any doctor or any AI. And I'm like, amen to that, because we are created in God's image. And so we are intuitively wise all the way down to the cellular level. So let's talk a little bit about that. And I guess unpack that for the average person listening, like cellular level. Okay. Our health starts there, but a lot of times people don't see that to the minute way in which health begins. So let's talk a little bit about that.
I think I'll rewind a little bit just to how we behave, because I think how we behave defines what that statement is meaning. As I've watched and learned in school, but also watched healthcare providers and patients, I find that we tend to focus on how we can control and manipulate the body to do what we think is best for it, rather than trusting that it knows what's best. And an example of that is the last time, a patient got a sinus congestion. The first thing we go to is a decongestion. And whether it's a natural one, herbal one, or medication, both routes, we often just duplicate medicine with our natural remedies. And so we go to say, well, I'm smarter than my body, so I want a decongestion. Or the other thought process is, I want to be comfortable. I don't have time for this.
That's probably the majority.
And then the second, you know, cough suppressants, right? If we get a fever, we try to suppress that fever. And as I really have learned to understand the body, I realized that these things help prepare us for future challenges. They help strengthen us if we can give it the time and support our body's natural processes, that we fight it better, and that that fight is more of a permanent fight. And what I mean by that is, like, my kids have never needed to go to the doctor. I can't even remember the last time they've been sick. Years and years, probably decades, since a decade at least, since my kids have been sick. But they all got sick as kids. You know, they all got the colds and the flus when they were infants and 2-year-olds and 4-year-olds. They got sick. And it's not that they can't get sick now. It's just that their bodies have learned to defend themselves in a way that
healthy immune systems.
Bold face, that this is a better path. Because the contrast of that is what we all see every day.
So true. I was thinking about that just this morning, preparing for our conversation a little bit. The other day I was playing pickleball and I injured my wrist just slightly. I kind of tweaked it. And, you know, the first thing that someone close to me had said is, oh, maybe you should take some ibuprofen. I'm like, oh, absolutely not. And so I'm like, I'll just put some ice on it, right? And so I know it's just acute inflammation, and that's good, you know, because it's like going after the issue, the problem. And it feels great now. You know, it's just like a 24-hour situation. But again, a lot of times you're right. We want to get into that comfortable place as opposed to dealing with the fever or the sinus infection and allowing our body to kind of run its course, so to speak. So you work with thousands of patients, and what is the, I guess, typical reason that people come to see you? What are you seeing most people suffering with currently?
So that's the key statement currently. Because I was going to say it's been an evolution. You know, yeah. I started in pediatrics and pregnancy, focusing on natural. I just pediatrics and pregnancy was my initial focus. That naturally lent itself towards autism and ADHD, and so I spent some time in that. Mm. And then that lent itself to gut health, and then that lent itself to autoimmune. And so I've spent most of the last, I'd say, 15 years on focusing on chronic disease. And now, when you say the word currently, my primary focus as a clinician is focusing on those people that haven't gotten help elsewhere. I have a very small patient base right now because I'm focusing on some other projects I can share. I only accept those patients that are really, really struggling, that have had problems. Like, one of my patients right now has had migraines for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I've been to at least 15 years of doctor's visits, hundreds of thousands of dollars, everything from chiropractic to acupuncture to any voodoo healing you can have, including like all the medical. She's been on all the medications and done all of the shots and the Botoxes and all the things to try to help. And so those are my passions. I like a challenge. And so I try to find those. I do have a few cancer patients right now. They're end-stage cancer and working to help save their lives. And so more chronic disease is really where my focus is. That tends to lend itself towards autoimmune.
So like Lyme, cancer, all those. So I'm sure you're seeing quite a bit of that. And then, of course, after the pandemic, I'm sure you're seeing more of a spike.
Absolutely.
The autoimmune.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, yeah. There was, I would say there's a spike there already, and mm-hmm. it's just now added fuel to the fire, because it was disgusting the level of autoimmune that there is in the world. It's horrendous. Yeah. It should be called out as a pandemic.
I agree.
It definitely has worsened significantly and in a more acute way, mm-hmm. More rapidly progressing way since COVID and the vaccines.
Well, and would you say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth fully, but as a practitioner, you know, things that we probably similarly talk about, from stress to lack of sleep to poor nutrition to lack of sunshine. I mean, all the things. Are these some of the reasons that you're noticing that there's an, you know, escalated kind of notice of the autoimmune issues?
Yeah, so I put together a little teaching diagram that I use to help you know, as I educate. And it's really recognizing that nothing in life is caused by one thing. There's no experience or illness or anything we ever have in life that just has one causative factor. And I've been stood out in large seminars on that. Had a business partner actually in a very large seminar said, "Hey, well, what if I stepped out in front of a bus and I get hit by a bus and I broke my arm?" And I said, I had to rebound on that because I was in front of a lot of people. But I said, even in that situation, if I took 10 different people and I put them in front of the bus, you know, all different age groups, all different sizes, weights, you know, are they all going to get injured the same? Are they all going to recover the same? Are they all mentally going to be thinking about buses the same?
And they have stepped out in front of that bus.
Right. Yeah. So there's just a lot of variables. And yes. So what I do is I break it down to make it as simple as possible for my patients to really evaluate, okay, here's the chemical stresses in your life. Here's the nutritional stresses. Here's the energy stresses. Here's the spiritual stresses. Here's the physical stresses. Each of the stressors, and you know, there's seven categories in total. And each of those stressors work together to create how you feel day to day. And if you really want to be healthy, if you really want to heal from disease, we not only have to address, you know, well, this is hard without the image, but on the image, there's this healthy line, ideal health, and then there's the symptom line. And the accumulation of all these stresses build up to over the symptoms. Most people address one of those stressors until they start feeling better. And once the symptom's gone, they stop addressing it. And so what I teach is really, how do we get things into that below the 50% mark? Because I believe if the whole of our environment is more healthy than unhealthy, then next year our cells are more healthy. And as a side effect, our symptoms fade away, go away over time, and our bodies are healthier. If we're above that threshold where our environment is more unhealthy as a whole, including our mental health, our physical health, our, you know, how we sleep, how we eat, all those things together. If it's more unhealthy than healthy, then over time, with or without symptoms, our body digresses and becomes more unhealthy and we lead ourselves closer to disease. And so my whole scenario is, how do we get them into that healing space? And we know the end result is they will have health. And I know as an end result, they'll live longer, better, improved quality of life.
Yeah, that's so good. And what would you say regarding the average person? You know, typically they want to just treat the symptom with that Band-Aid kind of approach. And typically they probably come to see you when the symptom is like off the charts. Ideally, you would want to see your patient prior to that, before all the alarms and bell whistles are you know, going off. Yeah. So what would you say to the average person? Because I don't know that they are putting, or if they have an understanding that, first of all, their health is their true wealth, but secondly, that to be proactive will keep that those alarm bells from ever having to go off, and that there's right. things that you can do.
Yeah, I think I found as humans, we usually wait until things are, you know, on fire, till the house mm-hmm. is on fire, and then we do something about it. That's our general tendency. It is changing. I will say I've seen a significant change in people's thought processes since COVID, and at mm-hmm. least who they trust and the desire to look for more, realizing what we've been doing for the last 100 years isn't working. So we need to look for something different. And I think, you know, I'm wearing the Maha hat here. I think there's a great awareness and awakening happening. I do still find, though, that people are driven by expenses and what they spend money on. Even though they want to be healthy, they want to do those things, and they recognize that there is a better path, the finances can be a restriction for them. And so that's where I typically, there's questions I ask my patients before I accept them as a patient. One is, how much can you spend? That's actually number two. And number one is, how committed are you to getting yourself better? Like, what are you willing to do? If I ask you to not eat sugar for a month, would you not eat sugar for a month? And I don't listen to their words. I just watch their face. And and if they look at me with weird eyes, you know, wanting eyes, then I just say, you know, this might not be the right time, or I'll ask challenging questions just to make sure. But they need a willingness to make change for sure. And then what's neat about this world and health is that you can actually heal quite cheaply most of the time.
Yeah.
And so there are faster, easier ways to heal, and they cost money. And if you're willing to be put more time in and more commitment, then you can heal quite cheaply. And so I try to get a gauge for the rate of healing that my patients want, and then what they're willing to spend. And then once they give me that information, I'm able to give them kind of a little layout of, okay, if this is what we have to spend, this is what you have to commit to if this is your goal. And then they decide if they're ready for it or not. And,
that's
and
good.
So I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, definitely. And you're in Arizona, right?
I am. Yep.
And do you see patients online as well?
Like I telehealth? Do, yeah. Virtually is where I see most of my patients. Yeah, most of my patients too. Are virtual.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of telehealth these days, right? You can, yeah. I mean, it's amazing where health is going. So let's talk a little bit about maybe just some root causes, you know, and how to, again, go after the root cause rather than the symptom. And we mentioned a couple of them already, but also I want to talk maybe a little bit, just a little glimpse into your protocol and what people could expect. And I know every body is different, but maybe just kind of something that you take them through just to get an understanding of their needs. Blood work,
absolutely. That kind of thing. Yeah. That was a lot of questions.
I know. Ready, set, go.
I'll pick up where I think it'll answer all those questions.
That sounds so good.
I think the first is really, really a thorough evaluation. You know, I first recognized that I can have 100 patients with psoriasis or Crohn's or celiac disease or cancer, AML, whatever it is. And they each can have their own why. They each can have their own root cause. And so really doing a thorough evaluation, I like to do thorough labs, and they aren't the labs that people would get at a regular medical clinic, because those are just their end stage testers. Yeah. I do a much more detailed
How many evaluation. Markers do you test? How many?
On average, you know, for my baseline, about 250.
Okay, great.
But often, you know, for my more complex patients, significantly more than that. Okay. We look at gut microbes. We look at gut permeability. Those are high level for me. I want to look at the immune system, and then obviously want to look at liver health, kidney health. Those are all important through this process. And then the rest of it's all unique. But my baseline is definitely looking at gut and immune health. Since my focus has been autoimmune, that seems to be the direction that I tend. And then we add whatever specifically we need on top of that. But also, I love looking at x-rays. You know, I've looked at thousands of x-rays over the years. That's an understatement. And through looking at those x-rays, I can see things that other people can't see, because I've seen patterns. And I can look for gut health in x-rays. I can look at patterns of inflammation through those x-rays. I can see how severe and how hard it is going to be to get that patient better. Based on the x-rays, that can give me a great indication of response time and how long I can tell the patient, hey, this is going to be a 18-month process, a 3-year process, or a 3-month process. So the combination of history and those details, the labs and the x-rays, give me a beautiful picture inside of the human being. And so once I have that information, and really those, the x-rays and the labs are supportive, the history is really where the key value comes in. And when I get detailed history and I start to understand, okay, here's the different pieces from the emotional standpoint, their mental health, their childhood traumas, their physical traumas. You know, they fell down a hill 20 feet when they were 3 years old, or they, you know, whatever it was, the physical traumas, all of those different pieces start coming together. Oh yeah. I mean, I had one person that used to swim in a vat of pesticides because he worked on a farm in Iowa growing up. And as a kid, they would go swim in the vats of pesticides and wonder why he had Parkinson's at 54 years old. And so, you know, you start getting those things together. Right. And so once we have
it's like a puzzle.
The why, mm-hmm. Yeah. Once we have the why, the root cause for that individual, then the treatment plan is you know, fairly easy at that point. I say that it's easy to start the path to know where to get started, but the healing process is like this. It's a windy road. We know where that we're aiming, but it's a windy road to get there. And the last question I think I need to answer for you is from a baseline perspective, I find that almost all patients need help with nutritional and mental health, both finding peace and in trials and in stress, because we all have that. I do a lot with breath work, meditation. I'm a Dr. Dispenza, like he's one of my heroes.
Dr. Joe. Yeah.
Michael Singer. So I use a lot of things, you know, from a foundational standpoint to help retrain how we think about the world around us, because our mental health, I believe, has more to do with anything, our health than anything. And I put food as a very close second. And so getting the right food. And then for some people, the mental health is easier to change. And others, the food is easier to change. And so we try to focus on the thing that works best in their life right now, and then kind of keep that other one working on it as we grow. And then those are the two key areas. And then obviously there's a whole bunch of thousands of different things that, that are needed to heal the damage of the past. Because my last statement here, foundationally, I recognize that the body is self-healing, but it is not self-correcting. And so if you've created damage in your intestinal tract for 50 years, just eating good is not going to heal the scar tissue in your intestinal tract.
Right.
I do believe that if they meditated enough for enough years, enough hours a day, they could probably heal it. I believe that, but I don't know who has that time. I know one person, and he's done a great job.
Myofascial release. There's all these different techniques,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah. Use massage, visceral massage, all those types of things can help break down that scar tissue. And so I combine those types of therapies to help repair the damage of the past, while we're working on making sure we're not causing future damage.
I love this because, you know, a lot of my patients don't understand fully until we get into it, just like yours probably, about the power of the past and how it can have a stronghold on your physical well-being. And, you know, I usually talk about how forgiveness is a lot of times key to fitness or key to wellness, that forgiveness piece. It's kind of, you know, embracing the F word, forgiveness. And that means forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, but that kind of unlocks things. But, you know, you came from a place of poverty, if you will, single mom. I mean, you've had your own traumas and dramas, right, that you've had to go through. And I mean, I have too. Like, none of us are immune. So we learn from those experiences. But, you know, I believe that we get to kind of pass the baton to somebody else once we've had the breakthrough on the other side of that healing. And that's so beautiful. And that's what you're doing as well. So regarding like technology in this space, where do you see things going as far as the impact that technology is going to have for the future of healthcare? Have you thought about that much?
I've thought a lot about it. It's a place that, you know, it's why I added AI to that equation. Because it used to be your cells are smarter than you or any doctor ever will be or scientist ever will be. But then I had to do a deep evaluation of AI. And I know that AI will be smarter than any individual human in the next 10 years. I can already see what its capabilities are and how quickly and rapidly it's improving. And so AI will be able to navigate many of these diagnostics and you know, the protocols that I've built, I'm building into AI so that it can be reproducible for other doctors. And then, I mean, quite frankly, are we going to need the doctor piece of it? Like, where is that going to fit in? And I do believe that there is a part that AI will not be able to reproduce, and that is the God piece, the intuition piece.
Yeah. And also the connecting, just human connected.
Right. A 1,000,000%. You need, and people are craving it already from a result of COVID. And I've seen people are just wanting so much more of that personal touch. And so you're going to need that, but AI will be tremendously supportive of that and will, I mean, it will be able to, with all the data that will be there, it'll be hard to deny that the things that you and I teach are not truth and that that's not how people should be living. So yeah. I think it'll make a significant impact on how we live and both individually, but also as a nation and a world.
Yeah, the word quack will not be near naturopath or chiropractor. I'll tell you that much.
No. Yeah, you start pushing the real data out there for the world to see.
That's right.
It'll be shifting.
Yep. That's right. That's so powerful. Well, what would you say, given your diverse experiences, how do cultural beliefs and practices influence health perceptions and treatments, especially and in particularly gut health?
Yeah, I think I might take it a step deeper and just talk about genetics first.
Like, yes,
the root is, you know, because I opened several clinics that specialize in diabetes, neuropathy, and chronic wounds. I've got addiction recovery centers that we're opening. A lot of specialties. And as you evaluate the specialties, you start to see trends and trend lines. And we see that people of different cultures and genetic traits, like Indians, have a much higher both American Indians,
yeah,
as well as India Indians, mm-hmm, have a higher tendency towards diabetes eating the American diet than Americans do, or they, not Americans, but the white people from Germany. Yeah. It's amazing that shift and how consistent it is. So we have genetic
thyroid issues.
Oh yeah,
in India.
Well, we can broaden that to autoimmune.
There you go. Right.
We can broaden that to autoimmune because there is a higher tendency eating. And you know what? Just an example. I had a patient from Mexico who moved here, very health conscious, ate really good in Mexico, came here to the United States, lived in Mesa, and started shopping at American stores, the exact same food that he ate in Mexico. No different. I mean, exact same food.
No different, but different. Yeah, the ingredients are different.
Yeah. And within 2 years, he thought he was going to die. He came to me because no other doctor would acknowledge that he was ill. And he felt he had an illness that was going to take his life. He had weight gain that was out of control and lots of other things, but his blood labs, his blood markers were showing normal. And so none of the doctors would listen to him, but he knew that his health was failing. And so we put him on my dietary program, and within 2 months he was back to, you know, being on top of the world again, which was unfortunate because he would probably prefer to eat the way he used to eat. And if he could access that quality of food here in the US, and he probably could, you know, doing acrobatics, he would be able to maintain that life. And so culturally, I think just being aware that the food patterns that work in other countries don't work in the US because of what we do to our food that is on the label and what's not on the label.
You know what? That's just it. And hopefully with Maha, with your hat on, that is shifting. And we're already seeing the shift, but it's going to be a process. It's going to take quite a bit of time because there's been so much allowed into our food system.
Yeah. I would say the changes, I believe, as I'm watching the patterns, they're going to be pretty micro. Mm-hmm. They'll be pretty micro relative to what the humans in America need to live healthy.
Right. Like I mean, I'm all about getting rid of red dye 40 and all the things, but when you start talking about Skittles and this and that, I'm like, come on, you guys, yeah. Let's talk the bigger picture. Yeah. That's a start.
Yeah, if I could pick one thing, red dyes are huge, but
yeah,
if I could
yeah.
pick one thing, it would be genetically modified foods.
Yeah. 100%.
That is the one thing I have seen be the one of the, what I would contribute to the largest contributor to autoimmune.
Mm. And I'm glad you mentioned that because I don't think a lot of people understand the severity of reaching for that non or GMO type food rather than going for non-GMO because they want to save a buck here and there, right? But at the end of the day, you're going to be spending a lot more on healthcare and lack of quality of life than if you just went with non-GMO foods.
Yeah.
So now you have something called, and I found this a great name and I loved it, but it's at your website called loveyourliver.com, but it's deliverance, like all hyphenated, deliverance, deliverance. Can you tell us a little bit about that product and what it obviously does for detoxification for the liver?
Absolutely. So first, that's not my company. That's just one of the companies I represent. Sydney
Clavien. I'm sorry. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'll give credit where credit's due. Sydney Clavien is the founder of that company. And, and it's brilliant. It is an absolutely brilliant product. You know, like most doctors, I guess I do a little more research than most doctors, but I've deeply researched, you know, organ health and repair of organs. And I was quite frustrated when I met Siggy. The reason I was frustrated is because I had spent 15, 20 years detoxing the liver. And he was the first person that brought it to me and said, why would you detox the liver when the liver's job is to do what?
Well, detox.
Its job is to detox the body.
The body, right.
And so detoxing the liver is like splashing a cup of water on a house fire. We want to heal the liver.
Right.
So that the liver can do its job. Of detoxing the body.
Yes.
And I mean that. It's like a cup of water on a house fire when you do a 3-day or a 7-day detox for the liver. Like it's just
good
to
word.
Me, especially with my eyesight now, is ridiculous. And that's coming from somebody who did it for a decade or more. And so I think really the power behind that product is it's got 17 different herbal ingredients, all food-based. The sweetener is mesquite honey, and so low glycemic, and that also has health benefits from an antimicrobial standpoint. And so truly pure product. And what I can say is that it is the only product I believe in the world, and I've spent a lot of time researching, that is shown and proven to reverse fatty liver disease and early stage fibrosis. And so if it's that good for disease, how much better is that for a healthy body to maintain health? And so we know that the liver is the baseline. It is considered the master organ in Chinese medicine because it is essential to the functions of every other cell in the entire body. Yeah. It has control and impact on hormone creation and development. It has control on brain function and lipids in the brain. And it has
glutathione,
so many different functions that it has besides detox, over 500. Having a healthy liver is essential to have a healthy immune system and body.
I'm so glad you brought that up because, a lot of times people have taken advantage of that organ. And I know I have in the past myself back in the day. But the liver repairs itself and it actually, regrows. Like it's not like you're too far gone. Hopefully not. I mean, there are those points, but, I think some people think, well, it's just the way it is. And but that's not true. You can heal the liver.
Yeah, I mean, so much of heart disease and all these other diseases we deal with, the baseline root is the liver just can't keep up anymore. That's it. Livers just can't run fast enough to outrun all the garbage you put in it and all the inflammation that's currently circulating.
Right. So really, we all have a choice on how we want to live this life and the health that we want to operate in. And so, I think that's great. We need the education. We need the empowerment. And you've dedicated a significant part of your career to educating not just physicians, but also the public. What are your key messages that you want people to take away regarding the gut microbiome? And you kind of already mentioned about the liver, but maybe there's another thing that you want to share about the liver. But what are some key education points, gut microbiome and liver?
Yeah, I think just at the root, if people can take one step or five steps closer to stopping trying to treat the symptoms, there are so many thousands of supplements out there that are doing nothing more than just making you feel better for a short period of time. Feel better for a short period of time, but aren't dealing with the root. And I think a lot of those supplements are great when used with the care that gets to the root cause. And so when it comes to digestive health, I think if people can think of it a little more globally, one, you got to make sure the right things are going into the body that are not stressing the body. Two, we want to make sure that we're creating an environment that allows that to heal mentally, because when we're mentally stressed, our stomach is stressed. And when we're mentally stressed, our stomach restricts blood flow. That's why you're taught not to go swimming after you eat a meal, is because it pulls blood away from the digestive tract to go to your extremities. And so that dehydrates and dries out the intestinal tract and causes
cramps,
crevices, and all kinds of junk. And I think three is when you've had those things for a long enough period of time, and quite honestly, the intestinal tract is terrible at showing symptoms. And so if you're feeling any symptoms like bloating or anything that's uncomfortable in the digestive tract, it probably means you've had problems for 15 or 20 years. Mm. And so the intestines is probably one of the most important places to be proactive. Visceral massage is one of my favorite therapies to help break down the scar tissue in the intestines that builds up because we ate Skittles and Ho-Hos and Twinkies and Taco Bell and all those things growing up and our Monsters and whatever else we downed, or Dr. Peppers. And over time, we create damage. And the intestines are so neglected because they're not good at showing symptoms like your knee or your ankle or your head. And so it's not until it's oftentimes way down the road until we start taking care of it. So just being proactive in that space. I think the last thing I'll say to that, and I cut you off there.
No, I was just going to say the gut-brain connection too, right? So if you're foggy-headed, hello, you probably have some gut issues, right?
It feeds both ways. If your gut's not healthy, you can't be happy.
Right. Yeah,
absolutely. I think the last thing I'll say to that is just to recognize that the environment required to heal the body is different than the environment you need to stay healthy. And what I mean by that is that if I have a big cut in my arm, a big gash, deep cut, gnarly gash, if it's trying to heal and I go and I rub it once a day, and I just take my finger across it like that and I rub it once a day, you just think about what's going to happen. Is it going to heal? It probably will figure it out eventually. If it does, it'll be ugly and gnarly, but it'll probably get infections and it reopens every time you do that, and it'll be problematic for an extended period of time. And so to allow that to heal, we have to create a very unique environment. But now if I have healthy skin and I do this once a day, it's called exfoliation and it's considered good for me. And so just recognizing that the work it takes to get healthy is a lot, but it's not eternal. It's not forever. It's until you get those tissues healthy. And once you get them healthy, like for my celiac patients, they eat cinnamon rolls and pizza again. Like that's the goal, is back to a place where well, they do it
the right way. I'm sure.
They do it the right way. They do it occasionally. They don't do it all the time. They do it occasionally. They do it with homemade bread with organic wheat and natural yeast that so ferments good. For 24 hours and makes sure the gluten is all the way broken down. They do it in the right way. And it's a matter of being able to live in a healthy enough way that you can enjoy freedom, because a healthy body can handle some stress every now
and then. You're so right. And real quick, you know, you just mentioned that they're eating it and doing it the right way. There are those healthy swaps, right? Like you're still enjoying what you want to eat, whether it's pizza or the cinnamon rolls, but you're having a healthy swap and making it in a healthier manner. And that makes a big difference.
And it's not every day.
It's not every day.
Pizza one day and cinnamon rolls the next day. And there's this accumulation effect. So there's a lot of context behind what I just said.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, my belief, and I believe I've proven this to be true on my patients, is you get a patient super healthy, regardless of how bad things were before, as long as it wasn't beyond repair, but as long as we can get them healthy, get them super healthy, they should be able to go on a cruise for a week and eat whatever they want and not worry about it and really just enjoy the cruise and food and whatever they want to do. And then when they get home, they know, my patients know, that they're going to live a phase one diet, what I call phase one diet. It's a detox for a couple days, 2 or 3 days, and then they're going to live my cleansing diet for a few days after that. And they're going to work back into a healthy lifestyle, just so that they can help eliminate that past, period of time. But that's really, for me, it's a part of the joy of getting to health, so that you can go and enjoy those things.
Sure. It's not about perfection. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you say to the person that, as we're talking about, heated up here. What would you say that person that's, in an environment that isn't a very healthy environment to get healthy in? And I'm talking like they're in an abusive whether it's a marriage or just a family dynamics. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They really want to get healthy, but they don't know how to get out of this unhealthy environment in order to actually get well. What would you say to that person? That
it's a great question.
Yeah.
First, I have to point out, I love that you got flush when I said they could have pizza and cinnamon rolls.
Because I was like, oh no.
The heat turned on. Don't say that. I love it. Love it. Love
it's
it.
Great.
I always like to get a rise anyway. I'm glad I got it. So to answer your question, again, this is where it's so hard. I'm not a blanket answer person because each individual, I will say it's going to be, I would start in one of those many categories, but one, I have to figure out, okay, is their brain healthy enough to even take care of themselves? Mm-hmm. So they might need a support system from somewhere. They might need to come to a group to have some support, because if they have no support at home and they've been abused and beaten and they just don't have the mental ability anymore or energy to be able to eat right or do their own meditations or do breath work, and they're just so self-destructive at that point. It just is such a unique approach to the individual. I will say, from a general perspective, evaluate and say, okay, what one, do I need support? And then where can I get that support, either for free or for a cheap price that I can afford? Or if they, you know, there's people in abusive situations that have millions of dollars. But where can I get the support I need? That's essential when you get in those situations. And then the second is, where can I best make change? Do I have the chemical capacity of my brain to be able to even think positive? Am I in depression? Am I stuck in negative thoughts and anxiety? And all the breath work in the world isn't going to get me out of that, because I just get more anxious as I do breath work.
So it takes just really doing an evaluation and being honest with yourself, right?
It does. And then having the guidance to know, okay, if I can't do this yet, and I need to start from a nutritional standpoint and a reduction of inflammation standpoint, then what do I do? Like, food, obviously, reducing inflammation in your foods. And again, that's a whole talk on itself. But in short, just eat things the way God made it, and that keeps it simple. So that would be one step that they could take, if they can take it. But again, in that home environment, they may not have control over the groceries that they buy. And so in those, it's just so unique. But the second thing is, if the mental stress, like if they're not stuck in a perpetual depression, and they have enough capacity on their own, just starting with simple breath work. And I have a breath work app that I love called The Source, or The Breath Source. One of my favorite apps. I have partial ownership. I was their investor.
Oh, cool. All right.
But I'm saying that, full disclosure, but yeah. I love the app. I haven't found anything better. It has all the best breathwork gurus in the world. And so you get to decide.
Oh, it's got Wim Hof and all those guys, huh?
Yeah, you've got them all on there. And cool. So it's just a matter of just having a tool or a resource that can create some good energy in your life and help you start practicing the habits. And it's incremental steps. It might just be 4 minutes in the morning before everybody wakes up that you do just this little meditation or breath work. It's hard to summarize.
No,
that
I know you did it well. You did it well. Cause that's a tough question. You're right. Well, I appreciate you, Dr. Mulder. And I appreciate your heart. And I appreciate that you have been someone yourself that has come out of a tough environment, so to speak, with, you know, a single mom and a couple siblings and not a lot of money. And yet you give people hope, even with what you do. And you have been through it. So it's great that they can see that, no matter where you come from, you can get through it and accomplish great things. But I appreciate who you are. I appreciate the mission that you're on. And what is the best website for people to reach you and to find out more? I know there's novavia.health. I know there's a couple other websites. So what's the best one?
Yeah, probably the best one right now. Again, I'm in transition on my personal business website. So Superhuman Network with one N. Superhuman Network is in development. It'll be out there soon. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those. So Superhuman Network with one N is the best way to find me directly. And find, if somebody wants to schedule an appointment, there's links on there so they can access me. Where I'm spending most of my time right now is on NovaVia.health, because we're changing the addiction recovery space, and we're providing superior solution-based addiction recovery for the underprivileged, for veterans and homeless, and those that can't afford it, those on Medicaid, and wow. because it's not there right now. So that's my heart passion. I probably didn't tell you this, or you probably don't know it, but I lost my oldest son to an opioid overdose
about
4 years ago.
No.
And so it's really become an area of passion to help serve that community.
Oh my goodness, Dr. Mulder, I'm so sorry. And wow, you're taking something tragic. Like, I'm about to start crying. This is so difficult to hear. And yet you're taking something tragic and making it something great for somebody else. So like I said, I love your compassion. I love your heart. And this is just one more reason why. So thank you for doing what you're doing. And thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank God you. Bless you. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation that I had with Dr. Mulder. And again, you can find him for sure at NovaVia.health and a couple other websites that we will put in the show notes. He mentioned Superhuman Network and a few others. So I'll put that in the show notes. But he is fascinating and has great compassion. And I believe that if you are looking for a solution in the area that he has an expertise in, you should definitely reach out to him. And also, if you are looking for someone like myself to assist you along your health and wellness journey, you know where to find me. My website is wendypett.com. That's WendiePett.com. Or go to getvisiblyfit.com and we can get started today. But also, you can just reach out to me if you have questions and I'll walk you through it. But would love to assist you along your health and wellness journey. But thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Visibly Fit. I hope it blessed you. Make sure you share it with others, and I will catch you same time, same place next week. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.